All right, I'm going to call to order the meeting, first meeting of the year of the ASRB on January the 12th at 4:30 p.m. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Lindsay.
Present.
Vice Chair Kamra.
Present.
Member Delgavio.
Present.
Member Middleman.
Present.
And Member Sullivan.
Present.
Excellent. Do we have any changes to the agenda tonight?
There are no changes to the agenda and no desk items.
At this time, we ask anyone of the public who wishes to make a comment on any topic not on tonight's agenda, either in the room or online. I see no one in the room.
We have no attendees online at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, we're going fast. Consent agenda. I believe we have one item.
December 15th minutes.
Okay. Does any member of the board have a comment or wish? Pull that for a comment. Otherwise, we'll just approve the consent agenda as is. All right. Can I have a motion to approve the consent?
Oh, wait a second. I'll make the motion. I'll make the motion to approve the December 15th minutes. I would make a motion.
Second that.
Chair Lindsay?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kamra?
Yes.
Member Delgavio?
Yes.
Member Middleman?
Yes.
Member Sullivan?
Yes.
Wow. We are moving fast.
Love it.
Okay. On to the public hearing. We have one item tonight, 45 Mission Trail.
Sarah will give the presentation.
Sarah's presenting remotely.
Hey, everyone. First off, I just want to apologize. I'm not there with you all. I'm a little under the weather. So thanks for being flexible with me. Can you guys all see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. So thank you. I will be introducing the project at 45 Mission Trail. The project includes the demolition of an existing single-family main residence, as well as the guest house and pool, and the construction of a new single-family main residence, detached garage, and swimming pool. The property is 1 acre in size, and it's in the SR zoning district. It's located on the north side of Mission Trail, which is a private road that extends off of Kenyatta Road. The property slopes gently from like west to east with an average elevation change of about 12 feet. It's a pretty gradual slope. It is currently developed with a single-family main residence, as well as a guest house and a pool, all of which are proposed to be demolished. And there is also an existing detached garage that's currently under review, building permit review, and it's proposed to be demolished, and a new ADU is proposed in that same location. So that's this structure here. So that particular scope of work, the ADU, is not necessarily part of this discussion. It's already under review for building permits. The new main residence is proposed here in the approximate center of the property, and this is a detached garage located here. And then in kind of right here in this center area is the proposed swimming pool. The existing driveway location onto the property will remain. It will be repaved and modified to extend onto the property to this detached garage. And so it will include additional parking areas and this fire truck turnaround. The height of the residence will be approximately 17 and a half feet tall at its highest point. It is a single story residence, and the materials include standing seam metal roofs, vertical and horizontal cement board siding, as well as wood siding, and then aluminum clad windows and doors. And as you can see, the color palette will be muted earth tones and shades of like gray, beige, brown. I did receive two neighbors reached out wanting to view the plans, and both of which were able to view the plans. One of the neighbors was able to view them and indicated to the applicant and as well as myself that they were in support of the project. And another neighbor came in and looked at the plans and was curious about landscape screening. The applicant has installed story poles in advance of the hearing. That concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Does anyone on the board have questions of staff?
Sarah, I have a question because of the. Oh, I have a. Oh, okay. Because the driveway is extended all the way and back to the garage, and you have the pool area, is that in compliance with the paved allowables?
Yes, thank you. I didn't hear everything that I heard your question, but maybe there was something said before that. But yes, their preliminary calculations show that they would be in compliance with their maximum paved area, but it's not something that we've completely verified yet, just because we don't ask for all of those details. But preliminary calculations look like they would be in compliance, and the code would allow some exclusion of that driveway. But it's something we would definitely check with a formal design review.
Yeah, and just I know that the ADU is separate, but what's the square footage on the ADU?
Well, I think it's about 1,200 square feet. Maybe I don't have the plan that plan in
No,
front of me though.
it's
I'm
just
sorry.
I was it just looked larger than but 1,250 for the dock. Well, 1,250. Okay, that's my own for you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I have one. I think I read conflicting information that it was a 4,700-ish square foot home and that 4,000 was approved, but there's some, or in keeping with the code. But then I thought I read someplace else that we needed a, what am I saying, an adjustment for that.
Yeah, Sarah can better explain it, but yeah, there's I'm assuming there's the resident size exception. And again, this is just a formula-based thing. So it depends on their lot size, and it just allows people to use more of their allowable TFA. So I believe that's the case. Is that correct, Sarah?
It was 47-ish hundred, Sarah. That's approved.
Believe so. I can look really quickly.
I have another one. It's 4,736 feet.
Sorry, I'm gonna close that really quick so I can look. Sorry, I'm not used to doing this on the computer.
No worry.
I believe,
Look.
sorry.
I was just going to say, I was just looking at the property information in the back on the last page, and that shows it's on page 12 of the staff report, and it shows that with an exception that they're allowed up to 4,735 roughly square feet. And they're showing to be just a bit under that. And the ADU, or I'm sorry, 800 square feet of the ADU doesn't count towards the house or the total floor area. So
That's right.
that as part of their formal design review, they would include the resident size exception. And that exception is does not trigger any special review, does not trigger planning commission review.
It's the calculation.
It's just simply a calculation of lot area.
Excellent. Any other questions? Yep. Okay.
I know at this time, lighting plan is not required, but I thought I had also read someplace that something was included on the elevations. But am I mistaken in that? There's nothing included as far as.
Not yet. On the other, on the ADU purpose, but should I say this? Yeah, there's nothing for lighting, sorry, in this submittal yet. But in the ADU, there's reference to the elevations. And maybe that's
Thank
the
you.
confusion. Or you know what? There might actually be lighting on there, on the
Saw
elevations.
something.
But
I
I
thought I
don't think it's, I
read
don't,
that it was,
there's no
but I
lighting
couldn't
plan,
find the
though. I
symbol.
think that's from the AD, when we were designing the whole building, the whole site, it was included, but we haven't put reference and a lighting plan in for this building yet.
Yeah, you have fixtures in the plan set, but you don't have a lighting plan.
No light.
Yeah, and
no lighting plan.
I'll just add that on like the elevations, you can kind of see like, so these are lights, but we don't have any more detail than that at this
there
time.
There you go. Thank you. Now I see him.
Any other questions? Only question for me is, having reviewed story poles on site, the northwest corner of the garage, the rear right corner of the garage, looked to be, it wasn't clear in my mind whether it was close to the setback, on the setback, or whether it was meeting this small percentage rule.
Are you talking about this portion?
Yep.
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, and maybe Dan can clarify, but I believe that, so this part is like an overhang,
yep,
which is allowed to extend into a setback, and this dashed line is the setback line. So we'll have to double check and make sure that that's meeting, you know, the maximum amount they can extend into that setback. But I think that's what that's showing there.
You go 6 feet. Into a rear setback, 3 feet into a side.
Yep.
This is a side technically, but yeah.
And the same thing applies on the other buildings.
Yeah, for eaves or overhangs, yes.
And you might see the ADU in a setback, whereas those are up to 800 square feet can go into the setback.
And then I did see the note in your report about plate height for the garage needing to be reviewed before formal.
Yes, there may have been, I think it was either a plate height or an overall height that exceeded 17. So something that they'll have to adjust, because we don't want them to exceed the height.
Okay. All right. And no more questions? Nope. Nope. All right. With that, we'll move to, I've lost my copy of the script, so I'm going to. client or applicant presentation.
We don't have other than what we've heard, we don't have any additional materials to present, other than to say we're excited about the project. It's a we've been working on it for quite a while, and we're excited about the way it kind of addresses the site issues and does something for their family that they're pretty excited about. We've looked at second floors and basements. We've been all over the place with everything and kind of settled on this more simplified, kind of stripped back approach that we're taking here. Thank you. But I'm available for questions.
Whatever. All right. Well, let's move just to that to see if there are any questions from the board. So,
So yeah, and just clarifying the amount of windows. There's a ton of windows. We all love to have that much lighting in it. I was kind of a little bit confused on the orientation. So they're going to face up toward the Putnam, or are they going to face down toward Mission?
So the great majority of the glass is facing out of that courtyard. The buildings are oriented due east west, and so the long faces of the buildings are facing south to take advantage of sun. And so yeah, most of the glass is facing out of that little courtyard, with smaller openings facing away towards neighboring properties.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming, because you have so much sunlight there, it's beautiful. You're doing the solar, right?
You know, we haven't actually talked about solar yet, so I assume there would be some involved. It's ample access to it, but I would have to talk to them about it. We haven't actually gotten to that yet.
There's a certain building code requirement for some minimal solar, so they have to address that at the building permit stage.
That's right. Yeah. It's a perfect spot.
Yeah, it is. We've got a lot of access. Other than the trees, it's we've got a lot of access.
Do encourage you to do a solar study. It might change the siding of the building in terms of maximizing solar.
That's true. There's not much we can do based on the setbacks and the trees and the property lines. There's kind of like no other way. We've really focused on focusing it towards the center of the site rather than spreading things out or around towards the property lines. So we're kind of locked into looking inwards on this, but I think there's probably ample access to sun from the north side of the site over the trees. I would think we should do a study, though. I agree.
And I know that while the ADU is not part of this review, assure me that the style and material palette and everything between ADU and main house is consistent.
It's the same thing, yes.
Yeah, great. No other questions for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Good. Left the trees alone.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no. I was almost there. Public comments. Yes. So again, we at this point we invite anyone in the public in the room. No. Online.
No one online.
Nope. Which by then point we move to board deliberation on this project. Who'd like to kick us off?
I can keep the one thing in going with what some of your neighbors said about the screening. The screening of the project, particularly because the pool is out front. I mean, I see why you did it like that, but it would be helpful, I think. We don't necessarily have to see the landscape plans, but perhaps if you could start, particularly like along, like where the Putnam's property are, grow some trees now, you know, instead of waiting until the very end to do the landscaping, you know, put some, oh, so that our, and do a nice screening so that people, when they're driving by, they're not going to see the lawn and the pool. I mean, hopefully they won't be able to see any of that. So I would be interested in seeing just a little bit of a landscaping plan when the time is right.
Right. Respond. We are working on developing a landscape plan with a landscape architect. So we would be able to show you that. We've got an actually developed landscape plan. We have to make a few changes for some things we've done on site, but we could show you something as soon as a couple of weeks, I would imagine.
That's good. But I would urge you if you could plant some things sooner.
Sure. There are privets in existing fruit trees and things we're not intending to remove those. I think they like some of those things. And the privets tend to grow as screening pretty well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an effort to kind of extend those around a little bit further, I think, in the effort for both neighbors to give everybody a little bit of privacy.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but in addition to the gate, there's also an opaque fence, right?
There is the gate that we're proposing. We're not proposing to change any of the fences around.
No, but there's a fence that does go around the property line.
There's one on the... Which side is that? That's going to be the west side. There's a CMU wall. So there's actually a solid wall there for that the neighbor has. The rest of it is mostly open fencing. So there's nothing opaque.
Got it. It's just when I was at the site, it didn't seem like you would be able to see the pool from the road.
Yeah, I think you probably could if there was no screening. It is elevated a little bit. It's about the center of the site. We're trying to equal, kind of minimize cut and fill by kind of doing it all on site. But I think there is a chance that you could see something coming around that bend. So I think screening is a good idea.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. Is the fence, the gate is solid now, is it?
No, the gate's open. Okay. It's an open mesh. Yeah.
Well, in the new plan, but in the existing one, it's a solid.
Yeah, the existing
one. That's what I was getting at. Yeah, so it's right now you don't see as much into the site where that won't.
That's true. You actually can't see it from, for the existing site, but you will because the fence will be open or the gate will be open.
No, I commend you for having a one-story house. That's wonderful. A two-story and materials going in with a town sewage.
Thank you.
No, it's that would be a nice and what a beautiful piece of.
It's a great little piece of property. Yeah.
Good for me. Yep.
No, I've been by the property, and it looks like a very suitable adaptation of the use of it. A great plan.
I concur.
Sure.
I do have a code question for Sage, though, that came up to mind.
From my perspective, I share Amra's comments on the simplicity and modesty of the property. We often... are asked to review properties that are on a much grander scale. Color palette selection, standing seam metal roof. I think these are all like nice choices relative to the residential design guidelines for the town. placement of the house on the property, I think is good. I think it's well considered for the property. So I'm supportive. With that, we can put it to a vote. So
I had a quick question for Sage.
Yep.
If somebody has a non-conforming gate that might have been put in well before our recent gate code, are they entitled to replace it with a non-conforming?
Replacing it? No, the code is interesting with gates. It actually specifically says that you have to, when you replace it, essentially you have to conform to the requirements of the chapter. So it says something along those lines. So sometimes people just keep their solid gates, but otherwise when replacing it, it should be compliant. It's kind of unique compared to, say, your building. If it's non-conforming, you can replace that where it is. So a little bit different for gates.
And the new one will be 6.5, not 8 feet?
The 6 feet is maximum for gates and fences. And so you'd have to hold to the minimum, and then you have to be at least 40% open for a gate. So the property is, they installed story poles. I didn't hear any recommended changes for the project. The ASRB commended the applicant for providing a one-story design with a low building profile and using color and materials that are consistent with the residential design guidelines and surrounding area. There is a recommendation for the applicant to apply landscape screening along the eastern property line to help screen the pool from the driveway on the adjacent, the road, Mission Trail Road. And with that, installed story poles. So if there aren't any other comments, or if there are any comments, please let me know. Then otherwise the ASRB can decide if it should go to staff for formal design review or come back to the ASRB.
Considering our consensus of quietness, I would recommend a formal design review with staff.
Want to make that a motion?
Due to the... No, I'm not. I motion to move this project to formal with staff.
I would second the motion.
Chair Lindsay?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kamra?
Yes.
Member Delgavio?
Yes.
Member Middleman?
Yes.
And Member Sullivan?
Yes.
You'll receive a letter in the next day or two outlining what just occurred and the next steps.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Get to go home early.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Sarah.
Good. All right. Closing the public hearing and director's reports, two of them.
Yes. I'll just kind of primarily focus on December, given that that then provides our housing numbers for the year. So not amazing, but definitely not bad. And so there's a total of 23 ADUs for permits issued in 2025, 11 for single family dwellings, which is a little bit higher than usual. And the 23 ADUs is right up there with kind of what we've been seeing over the last few years. And I'll just remind everybody that the target ADU production for this housing element cycle is 15 per year. So every year we've been doing over 20. So that's good news just to kind of see that. Some of our, you know, changes to our codes, obviously along with state laws, have been helping make it more flexible for people to construct ADUs. And we're working with the town attorney's office, and we'll be bringing back even further changes to the ADU ordinance in the first quarter of 2026. Just to ensure that we're compliant with everything in state law and to provide probably even more flexibility when appropriate.
I have two questions.
Yep.
The first, if we project these numbers out for the rest of the maintenance cycle, where does it bring us with our numbers?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it probably gets us pretty close to the numbers. I think you'd still have some concern with hitting above moderate numbers. And then also it's dependent on how HCD looks at affordability for ADUs. Every year they're kind of continue to talk about
not using the ABAG study, which is what's been relied upon for some jurisdictions in the past. It's a formulaic way of distributing the ADU at income levels. And so that's something that we just need to keep an eye on every year. But at the end of the day, it's always important to remember that it's not just the numbers that we need to hit, but all the different goals and strategies of the housing element, because they implement different housing types. And so that's something that's still very important. But the above moderate numbers in single family dwellings, you know, that's something that we need to keep an eye on as well. At some point, more of the ADUs will be counting probably towards above moderate anyway.
Then my second question,
mm-hmm.
In the last housing element cycle, we were told to bring that number down for the year over years. Is there, in those discussions, was there appetite that if we showed that we could meet a higher number, that we could use it in the next cycle or the latter half of the cycle?
Yeah, we'll have to see what they do next cycle. So what happened at the last cycle was there was a lot there. From my recollection, there was concern that if you used more than the four-year average, the 4 years prior to that housing element cycle, then there would probably be a much larger potential that they would not allow you to rely on that ABAG study and income distribution. So therefore, the town, you know, and it was a low average. In particular, it was the first year of COVID was in that cycle, whereas there was no exception for that. But we did see a drop in production that year. And so 15 units was the average. Moving forward in the next cycle, you know, if we're hitting 22 average or something like that, we'll just have to see what the regulations are and the requirements are for the new housing cycle before I'd make any assumptions.
And Sage, what's going on with the Butler property?
The applicants is continuing to kind of submit information. The next steps is, you know, getting the application deemed complete. The CEQA work has been initiated, although cannot be completed until all of the information submitted. The town is working on a master sewer study. And so that's looking at capacity for the town center. And this property would need to connect to the town center assessment district. So it's likely that there is capacity. It's something that's probably not an issue for this project, but it's something that they're completing to have the hard evidence. And that's part of what this project needs to understand if it can connect to sewer. So part of the project is waiting for the town study, which would probably be, they're guessing, March, maybe April, to have that completed.
Do any of the new 2026 housing laws apply to the Butler project or the other high density projects in that?
We've asking the questions right now. They're not proposing anything at any restricted income level.
No, I just remember that one of the law, I can't remember the details, but it alleviated some of the CEQA requirements.
It's something I'm looking at those new laws. There's about four of them, I think, that are something that we need to closely look at a little bit further. So we'll be double checking that. It's the subdivision itself. It's not necessarily the development. The development for at least the multifamily housing was something contemplated with the housing element EIR. Whereas the proposed subdivision and the additional single family residences were not contemplated. So some type of, the consultants are looking at what type of CEQA document would come out of this, whether it's some type of addendum or, you know, maybe not the need for a full blown EIR given some reliance on the town's EIR study that was already completed.
Last but not least, how about that other Putnam project that was...
So there's two different ones. There's the subdivision at 1101 Kenyatta. So they are just satisfying their conditions to get their permits to construct the private road. So to demolish what's out there and construct the private road. That's actually something that they need to do and complete before the final map gets recorded.
So the tentative map has been approved. They have this construction permit. They should be starting to work on that in the spring. And then sometime shortly after that, presumably it would go to council. Council really just looks to make sure that all the conditions are complied with. So it's not rehashing the discussion. It's really saying, hey, you were supposed to do this. Did you do it? And if they did, then the final map can be approved and recorded with the county.
Is it determined that they're going to build the Putnam's are going to?
They haven't submitted for any permits. You know, depending who, I believe they're trying to sell it. And so it just, I think, depends on who, whether it's bought individually or someone buys the whole thing. We just don't have any of that firm information.
You said there was a second one.
Oh, sorry. They just had, I don't know if it was, I guess it was Planning Commission. There's parcels up at the top at the end of Mission Trail that back up to the I-280. And that project, there was a restrict, when that property was subdivided many years ago, there was a 100-foot setback from the freeway placed on those properties. And that coincided with an old code and general plan requirement that required a 200-foot setback from the I-280. So when they did the map, they received a variance to only do the 100 feet. That got recorded on the property. Since then, the town has taken that setback off of most of the properties along the I-280. It still is along some of them, like on Moore Road. Some of the larger properties still have that restriction.
100 or for 200?
For 200. But it does, so that no longer by code or general plan apply to these properties. So it's a matter of getting that easement restriction abandoned by the town. So the Planning Commission looked at that and found it abandonment consistent with the general plan. And they're doing some technical things. We'll go to the council for the final decision on that. Yeah, it's what you saw with the size of the properties is that it created a very tiny building envelope with the front and side setbacks. So then it probably would have triggered them to push something into another setback somewhere else. And so given that, I think it provides a more realistic flexibility. And whoever designs home out there will probably, by their own accord, try to stay as far away from the freeway noise as possible. But
so just as a matter of process, so I understand what you said. Mm-hmm. If the town removes setback requirement, that required variances are, I was trying to follow.
So
each individual property that has to go and get that vacated?
This got recorded on the parcel map.
I see.
And so that's what they're getting vacated. And so the code has already changed, but they still have this restriction placed on these particular properties.
So if they wanted to build, I see.
So what they're doing is getting rid of that recorded restriction. And then from there, they just follow the code. Thank you very much.
5 o'clock.
One thing I just want to notice, I do want to just let everyone know that the town is accepting applications for Planning Commission Districts 1 and 3. I forget which one. One of the members has moved out of the district, so that's probably open. And then the other member, well, I'm just not sure if they're going to run again, but in either case, anyone can apply. So pass the word around if you know anyone in districts 1 and 3 and they're interested in, I'd have to double check. I know these districts get into
one.
Oh, wait.
She was town engineer.
Okay.
She might be
on so
I don't know if it's 1 or 3.
Yeah, so yeah, we can double check. They can call the town. We can double check.
There are maps posted online.
Yes, that as well. Yep.
Okay, with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 5:04 p.m.